Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Promised Land, a show from the 90 Min Podcast Network, talking all things Manchester United. It's been a busy few weeks, full of lots of speculation, but Erik ten Hag is staying as Manchester United manager. I'm Scott Saunders, and I'll be talking all about that today. The decision, the reasons behind the decision, whether it's the right decision, all of that jazz. Lots of speculation going around over the last few weeks about different managers potentially taking over at United. What will happen with Ten Hag? Ineos getting criticism for taking too long on this decision. We'll talk about all of that today. But first off, we've been absent, let's just say, since the FA Cup final. The last time I came to you was from Wembley after United won the FA Cup. And we've had a bit of a break. And you may notice, I'll talk about this from the start, you may notice that obviously it's only me today. If you're listening on audio, maybe you haven't figured that out yet. But like last time, it'll be me on my own on the pod. And a week or two ago, I did post something on Twitter addressing the reason why we haven't been uploading per usual schedule, and B, the reason why Rob isn't here. As per my tweet, and this remains the case, by the way, we've not been able to stick to the recording plans as Rob has been ill in hospital. He'll be on the mend over the course of the summer, and that remains the case. So it'll be me on my own for a little while, but best wishes to Rob, obviously. I've spoken to him quite frequently, and just hoping that he can get on the mend and be back with us as soon as possible. So best wishes to Rob. Much love to him as well. And I haven't spoken to him yet since this news has broken, but I can imagine he'd be pretty happy because, he has said on the pod, if United decide to stick with Ten Hag, then he will back it. And that's where I'm standing as well. There's obviously been a lot to digest around the United performances of the last season or so. And let us know in the comments as well if you think this is the right decision. I feel like since the FA Cup final, United fans have pivoted back to most United fans have pivoted back towards keeping Erik ten Hag as the manager. Obviously, he's done a lot of good things. There's a lot you can criticize him for as well, but I think United have taken their time over this. And for me, I think they've reached the right decision. And I think Rob has said the same as well. But obviously, Rob will be back as soon as he can join us again, but best wishes to him. But for now, it'll be me coming to you on my own, rambling my way through this podcast. And I'm not, like, personally, I'm not a I don't do streams on my own. So any support, any backing you'd like to throw my way in the comments or on X, please do that. Need a boost of confidence. Subscribe to the show anyway, if you haven't done so already, on Apple and Spotify, and give us a 5-star review as well. Watch us on YouTube, where you can like the stream, subscribe, leave a comment, and hit the notification bell so you never miss a show. And follow us on social media as well, at @_ScottSaunders on X, IG and TikTok, and at @TPLMUFC on X as well. Right, let's get into it then, because the news broke, and I don't know if I'm embarrassed to say this, the news broke at about like 10:15, 10:30 through the excellent David Ornstein on Tuesday night, that Erik ten Hag will be staying after the internal review was conducted by Ineos. And am I embarrassed to say this? I was asleep, so I only found out this morning with my morning coffee. And it's been maybe indicating for a little while that this would be the way that Ineos went, because we've seen loads of speculation, loads of reports around United speaking to other managers and all of this kind of thing. But Tuchel dropped out of the race a few days ago. Kieran McKenna signed a new contract at Ipswich. Mauricio Pochettino was contacted after he left Chelsea, but he was eliminated from the process a couple of days ago as well. And it seemed like after the FA Cup, Ten Hag's case was strengthened, even though we had that report saying that he would be sacked no matter the outcome of the FA Cup final. But it seems like it's been moving towards this point over the last few days with other managers dropping out of the process. And I think it's the right decision. And I personally, I'm actually delighted that he's staying. Now, I know that plenty of you who've been listening to the podcast or engaging with the podcast over the last few months have voiced your reasons why Ten Hag should leave. And I think they're all valid. I honestly think they are all valid. There's been a lot of criticism about the tactics he's been deploying. I know we've criticized the tactics that he's deploying on this podcast consistently as well. But there are other circumstances which I think we have to consider, and I'll talk about these reasons. But yeah, generally, I'm delighted that he's staying. I feel like, in fact, the way that Ineos have conducted this entire process has been like 2.5 weeks since the season ended. The fact that they have been publicly courting other managers and speaking to them has probably made people who were critics of Ten Hag in the first place feel a little bit sorry for him, because he feels like he's been hung out to dry. And obviously we've had reports around him being, you know, frustrated with the fact that it's been taking so long, and the fact that they're speaking to other managers, is that cause for embarrassment for the manager who actually has the job in the first place? I'll get into that. But like, I think he deserves a third year. Let's just say that. I think people are, and I just had a tweet about this as well, like saying, oh, the first season wasn't that good and the second season was terrible. It was like United's worst league finish in Premier League history, 8th place. Obviously, they've reached the Europa League anyway, because they won the FA Cup. But, you know, people have like looked at the big picture and thought like it was as bad as last season in the first season. I don't think that's the case at all. I think a number of positives came out of the first season. I know that like the likes of Liverpool and Chelsea in Ten Hag's first season were not firing all cylinders, and United came 3rd in the league, but they seemed like they were making positive steps. A number of the signings that they made in Ten Hag's first summer looked like they were working. Like Casemiro was looking good at the time. Lisandro Martinez was good at the time, and obviously is still brilliant. He's my favorite United player. But I feel like there's so much recency bias with a lot of this, that Ten Hag's first season has been essentially thrown out by a number of people. But I feel like that should impact your consideration when you have to look at the big picture, right? You have to look at the whole 2 years. And I know that United have been looking at last season in like specifics as to the reasons why things have gone wrong. But Ten Hag on the whole, I think he's had one good season and one bad season, but both seasons have ended up in trophies. And look, it's been hard to defend the performances, but so many circumstances like Ten Hag has had to deal with. How many managers can you think of at other clubs would have had to deal with the stuff that Ten Hag has had to deal with? You know, there's been accusations or like issues of player power in the camp for God knows how long, ever since Sir Alex left. There's been issues of player power. There's been issues of like disagreements with players. You think of in the first season, Cristiano Ronaldo publicly going out and criticizing Man United or storming down the touchline after he wasn't being brought on, or he's being brought on late in a match against Tottenham and making a scene. Ten Hag has had to deal with, you know, putting himself as the authority figure in charge of that team when United have been signing players with massive reputations who've publicly gone against other managers in the past and ended up winning. Ten Hag has had to deal with the Ronaldo situation. There's issues around off-field issues with Mason Greenwood and Antony. And there's the Jadon Sancho public issue, which has happened in the 3rd game of last season, I think. And, you know, Ten Hag has had to stand there and stick to his guns in a lot of those cases. Well, talking about the Ronaldo and Sancho cases, maybe the other issues are more out of his hands and more club issues. But in Sancho's case, like, he's obviously had a good run to the Champions League final with Dortmund, but Ten Hag has had to stand there and he's trying to impact like his authority on this team, on this squad, and he's been trying to make sure that no player kind of defies him. And if a player is to defy him, he isolates them. And that's the only way you can really start removing player power. But now Ten Hag is going to get, hopefully, some kind of backing from a structure above him, which he's never really had before, to go with the things that he feels like United need to do. Sancho will be sold, obviously. I don't know whether we'll talk about Sancho today and Mason Greenwood today, the fact that they will both be sold by United over the course of the summer. Maybe we'll save it for another episode and just focus on Ten Hag here today. But Ten Hag he's had a lot to deal with. Look, guys, he's really, really had a lot to deal with. And he's shown a real strong will. And for me, I think he's vindicated on the Sancho thing. You know, like, think of this, right? If you're in a workplace and your manager says you're not performing in training to standards or expectations, or performing in your job to standards and expectations set by your manager, and then you go out on social media and say, I disagree with that, I think you're wrong. To do that in public, it's just, no matter who the manager is, I don't think Jadon Sancho should be staying. Like, you know, you can't do that. Sancho sat on the sidelines for 6 months because he's disagreed with the manager while getting paid and being employed by Man United. And Ten Hag has had to stick to his guns, and he has had to bat off questions about, like, when Sancho was playing well in Champions League semi-finals against PSG, all of this kind of thing. And I know that people have sided with Sancho and other people have sided with Ten Hag. I've always been on Ten Hag's side personally in this case, because the manager needs to be empowered. The players need to have that power taken off them, and they need to be held to standards which are applicable for a Man United player. And, you know, some of the behavior on and off the pitch, like in Sancho's case, you know, like disagreeing publicly, it just can't be tolerated. And if United are ever to move past this player power era, you can't accept those issues. And I feel like the decisions to go ahead and sell Sancho over the course of the summer is the right one as well. But what it does, now that Ten Hag is staying, is empower him more and show that, you know, he's been trying to do it his way, and now Ineos, maybe they'll take some of the power out of his hands, but I feel like they've agreed in a sense that, okay, we need to fix the culture. We need to fix the culture. We need to make sure that no player steps out of line, and if they do, it's bye-bye. They'll back that. They will move towards now getting players out of the club, hopefully over the course of the summer, that don't fit in with squad culture plans and hopefully the manager's plans. And I think that's the right decision. And think of the other situations as well. You know, injuries. I think United had 65 injuries and illnesses last season. And how is any manager able to contend with that? Chelsea had a bad season last season, had a lot of injuries. Newcastle had a bad season last season, had a lot of injuries. And they all finished like within 3 points of each other. And whether you think United need to like automatically finish higher than those teams anyway, you know, maybe that's valid. But at the same time, United have been run so terribly for 11 years that they have so many issues to sort out. And they are on that kind of level. You know, no matter, you can look at all the money they spent, but everyone will agree they spent it terribly. Now, he had so many injuries last season, but also consider as well the fact that he's never really been fully backed in the market. I know people will say, oh, he spent 85 million quid on Antony, or he bought Casemiro like that when he wanted to sign Frankie de Jong for an entire summer. And then United pulled the trigger on 65 million Casemiro at 29, 30 years old. You know, he tried to sell Harry Maguire last summer. Erik ten Hag tried to. He okayed it. And United could then not, because of the contract they'd given to Maguire, facilitate a departure for him. West Ham were there. There was a bid from West Ham. And Maguire would not leave without having his contract paid up. And I think that's fair. That's completely fair enough. But how is that Eric Ten Hag's fault? Like, Maguire came back, and credit to him last season, showed the right attitude to go and improve and like make his way back into the team. And he had a good season in the end by the standards he'd set over the last couple of years. I think he's been judged unfairly. But the fact of the matter is, like, is Harry Maguire fast enough to be able to be suited to the system that Ten Hag has wanted to play with a high line? Probably not. I think everyone will look at a centre-back this summer and think that United need one or two centre-backs. And they do. Fact of the matter is, last summer, United couldn't sell Harry Maguire and ended up signing Johnny Evans. Like, as much as you want to look at the fact that Ten Hag has got some of the players that he wanted, like Antony, no doubt about it. You can look at Amrabat and think he pushed for him for a lot of the summer, but even that's only a loan deal. You know, the job hasn't been fully done. And we're still in the midst of a rebuild. It's been done poorly so far. This summer is going to be absolutely crucial to making sure that United take steps forward and play football in the style that Ten Hag wants. And look, players have to leave. Like, as much as you talk about players who come in and join the club being the right fits, you have to sell players. You have to get players out. You have to correct the wage bill. You have to ensure that you're doing a good job on the outgoings as well as the incomings. And I don't even think you can really say that the incomings have been done that well, but everybody will look and agree that outgoings have been absolutely, you know, I can't sell players. I think their record sale still in recent years is like Dan James, you know, he's the only player that United have actually taken a profit on in the last few years, Dan James. So every player United have bought, and it'll probably still be the case after this summer ends as well, they bought and sold at a loss or had to release. Like Martial and Varane have just left on free transfers over the last few weeks as well. But he's never worked in a football structure that functions. He really hasn't. Like, Ten Hag has come in and has been tasked with, in his own words, changing the culture and not taking any crap anymore. And he's tried to do it, but not had the backing from people above him who are supposed to help him on recruitment or even take over recruitment. He's not had the full backing, whether they wanted to back him or not. The job hasn't been done properly. So there's lots of issues that you can look at here and think, you know, Ten Hag's liable for that. But there's so many issues out of his control that haven't been fixed properly that how can you actually judge him? Are you actually seeing the maximum out of Erik ten Hag that we're, you know, last season was really poor, but there are so many circumstances outside of that which have held him back. And now we're moving into an era with Ineos, who still haven't got their own structure in place properly, by the way. We're moving into an era now where hopefully that structure will come and there'll be good people in the right positions, all working towards the same goal, and the manager's included in that. And I feel like Ten Hag's body of work over the last 2 years, it's not been perfect by any means, but I feel like the fact that he still retained the majority of the support of the fan base means that a lot of people think he is getting some stuff right. Garnacho's breakthrough, Kobbie Mainoo's breakthrough. He's sticking to traditions and trying to bring through youth products. That's one thing, like a check mark. Like, how many other managers out there can you think of that would have been able to do that as effectively as Ten Hag has done in his last two seasons? Tuchel? Absolutely not. You know? Now, I understand that this is going to bring meltdown for some people, but let me know, guys. Get in the comments and let me know your thoughts on if you think this is the right decision. Are you happy with it? Get in the comments, like the stream, subscribe, and leave a comment as well. Hit the notification bell so you never miss a show. And subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and give us a 5-star review, and watch us on YouTube.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Complete your staining project with Pittsburgh Paints and Stains, now at Menards. Stain in one coat with Ultra Advanced Semi-Transparent Stain. It's a stain and sealant in one that can be applied to damp wood and on hot, sunny days, allowing you to clean and stain your deck in one day. Save big money on Pittsburgh Paints and Stains and head into Menards to get your staining project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
As well. Now, I've got a running order here. I'm trying to run through it as effectively as I can, but having to fill space when not in conversation with another person is actually a challenge. It's actually quite difficult, but some people do it. I think it's just reps and practice, but I'll try my very best to A, do this today, and B, do this more regularly, because, like, full disclosure, from me, like, obviously we've had the situation with the podcast where Rob's out and the cup finals happened, but honestly, all of the speculation and all of the noise at the end of the season in a busy period as well, because I've had to work around the Champions League final and, like, going through different things in the office at work and, like, trying to get processes in place for that. Adding that to all of the speculation and the noise and the constant speculation about, like, will he stay? Will he go? And, like, people melting down about how this is taking so long. This is really poor from Ineos. It's disrespectful. It's this, it's that. I just can't be bothered with it. Like, honestly, it's so draining. And I'm glad that we finally come to a decision. It's taken 2.5 weeks. But I'm going to get into that decision now, and I'm going to talk about, like, my thoughts on the entire process, because people have criticized Ineos for the way that they've gone about this. And I get it. I do. But look, they're taking over one of the biggest football clubs in the world that have been absolutely toiling and failing for a long, long time. They've tried manager, like, United have tried manager after manager after manager, and every single one of them has not lived up to the expectation that they had when the job came in. They certainly not lived up to the expectation that Man United have traditionally set for themselves over the last 30 years. Now, they've come in, Ten Hag has won the cup, and it's taken 2.5 weeks for them to get to this decision. They've talked to a number of candidates: Thomas Tuchel, Kieran McKenna, Mauricio Pochettino, Thomas Frank, Roberto De Zerbi, lots of other managers. And the fact that Ten Hag has been in the job this entire time, and United have been doing that, or Ineos have been doing that, has been cause for a lot of criticism. What I will say, though, is, why should Ineos have any blind loyalty to a manager they didn't appoint? Like, why should they? Now, Ten Hag himself, like, I'm seeing a lot of people refer to this. They've said Ten Hag is, in terms of, like, since the Ineos completion was announced, the general consensus was Ten Hag is interviewing for his own job. Ten Hag is auditioning for his own job. I think that's completely valid. And I'm going to get into it. Like, Ten Hag had that body of 4 months of work on the pitch, plus all the conversations he's had behind the scenes with the likes of Dave Brailsford and whether he's spoken to Ashworth and Parada is, we're unsure because they've technically been on gardening leave at their respective clubs. But Jason Wilcox has come in, and Ten Hag has said himself that he's spoken to Wilcox and that they're trying to find common ground. They agree on certain things. And look, to me, I think that's just his own interview process. And whether you think that, if you think this is disrespectful towards Ten Hag, the way that United have been actually speaking to other managers, and like that, there's been so many reports from so many different places that United have been doing that. Whether if you think that's disrespectful, then fair enough. And I think there's a very, very, very valid point there. But when you think of Ineos's side, like I said just now, why should they have any blind loyalty to a manager that has just had the worst season in Man United's history in the Premier League? You can say that they maybe should have decided straight away, but surely, if you're doing things properly, you need to sit down and assess all options about what is the right one to move forward. Now, over the course of the last few months, you can probably imagine that they've had these conversations with Ten Hag. They have a body of work which they can consider on the pitch. They have all these extra circumstances like the injuries and like the off-field issues which they have to consider, and then think, if those weren't there, would we see a better Ten Hag? I personally think we would. And I don't think there's any guarantee that United could have a bad season next season. But are you going to go and predict now that United are going to finish eighth again next season? Because I wouldn't. I think that last season was so bad, but the season before was pretty good. And what we've seen out of Ten Hag is that when it matters and when he needs to get the job done, he genuinely does. Like in the FA Cup final, and I'll talk about this in a bit more depth in a second, Ten Hag showed that he could play a different way and won the cup against who many consider the best team in the world and the best manager in the world in Pep Guardiola. But he's had, and this is the way that I see it, right? He's had his own interview process over the past few months. What Ineos have done over the last few weeks is they have that consideration through Ten Hag. He said himself that he's planned out next season and he's mapped everything out with the club. But Ineos have then taken this time over the last few weeks to consider, they have this body of work from Ten Hag. Could we get a better manager? Could we get somebody who's more aligned with what we want to do? And is there anybody better out there? And while it might be disrespectful to Ten Hag, I think Ineos have done their due diligence. I really do. And I feel like they had to do that. And if they weren't doing that and they would just back Ten Hag blindly after winning the FA Cup, then is that doing your due diligence properly? Is that making sure that all avenues of and all available coaches who you feel like would be a candidate to do this job better than Ten Hag would, if you just completely ignored them, is that the right move? You know, there's been the way that this has all been reported without considering that maybe this was just a necessary part of the process, it's got on my nerves a bit, I've got to say. Like the people have jumped to conclusions. They've jumped to the conclusion that, oh, because they're speaking to De Zerbi, that means he's getting the job. Or because they're speaking to Thomas Frank, that means he's getting the job. Or because they went and spoke to, or Jim Ratcliffe met Thomas Tuchel in Monaco, that means he's definitely getting the job. These are all conversations which United have needed to have with, in order to find the best coach that they possibly can to move them forward for their new project. Because the new project starts now. We're started over the last few weeks. I think Ratcliffe, I'm paraphrasing here, but Ratcliffe said in one of his interviews after buying his stake in United, we want to walk to the right conclusions, not run to the wrong ones. This has been that. It's taken 2.5 weeks, but this has been that in action. And I feel like in a world where news is instant and gratification is instant and people spend all of their copious amounts of time on their phones scrolling through a Twitter timeline, that means that everything, that the patience has been eliminated completely, you know? And do you think Erik ten Hag is sitting there on holiday in Ibiza on his phone, like scrolling through all the aggregator accounts and thinking, oh God, I really wish they'd make this decision now? Like, no, I think the fact that everybody goes there and like is expecting some news to be delivered instantly and instantly and instantly, means that the whole meltdown around this has been so much bigger than it had to be. You know, for me, and this is the reason why I haven't wanted to do a pod, is because I was waiting for something to happen, something confirmed to happen, because otherwise I'd just been sitting here like everybody else trying to, I probably would have defended their process personally. Maybe you think I'm naive for that, but I want to give them a chance, you know? And I think most of us as United fans should be giving them a chance, because all we've been screaming for over the last decade is a team of people to come in who know what they're doing, that will make the right decisions and will consider everything rather than going with fan opinion or popularity. Maybe there's an element of that in keeping Ten Hag, but I feel like that Ten Hag has provided enough of a case to give him a third year. I really think that. And it's just frustrating. I'm seeing like criticism for Ineos saying they've taken too long. The transfer window hasn't even opened yet. I think it opens this week. So they can't even... Yeah, some clubs will have confirmed signings, but how many clubs have actually signed any players so far? You know, Chelsea have confirmed Tosin. City signed anyone? Liverpool have like got a new manager in, and that he started on June 1st or whatever it was. But all of these people are going to be on holiday for a little while yet. So the players aren't going to come back till the start of July. The players who are at tournaments aren't going to come back until well after that, closer to the season beginning. And there was no super rush on this. They've not missed out on any targets that I think they specifically wanted. I know that even there's been talk about Michael Olise and the fact that Chelsea have edged ahead in the race to sign Michael Olise. United haven't missed out on him yet. And look, I know that a lot of players will want to know which manager is in place before they join. But to me, all of the... Ineos are putting in place like a wide net, right? I think they're distributing the responsibility for who's on recruitment. I think you've got Matt Hargreaves, Jason Wilcox, and the scouting team who are like pressing ahead and like looking into targets and having these conversations. But United, the profile of players that they're targeting, and I tweeted this the other day, is around right. You know, they're looking at players who are 20, 21, 22, 23 for decent prices. I'm seeing Joshua Zirkzee, who's playing for Bologna, linked with a move to United over the past few days. £34 million release clause. Whether he goes to Milan, he might end up going to Milan because he'll probably be first choice striker there. And whether he'll be first choice at United with Rasmus Højlund, probably won't be, will he? But what I think we're seeing so far is Ineos are just doing their business with their, or United structures are just doing their business where they're reaching out to a few different people, not triggering any specific deal, but they're progressing to a certain point and getting the necessary details done or having the necessary conversations. And then they can come back and then decide, hey, right, this is the one we want to go for. And then it won't be too much to trigger it. They're even doing that with sales. There's a Mason Greenwood stuff, which has emerged from Dimarzio overnight. Juventus looking at a €30 million bid plus add-ons. And that deal could happen over the next couple of weeks. Even though nothing has been confirmed yet, doesn't mean something isn't happening. I feel like when things are, you know, the sooner we progress, you could see things come out of the window, like just come out of nothing, because they've done the necessary groundwork in the background over the last few weeks. Gone are the days probably where it'll be chase Frenkie de Jong for 7 weeks, go to Barcelona and be publicly photographed trying to negotiate a deal like John Mutter and Richard Arnold were a couple of years ago. Spend 7 weeks trying to sign him, or 12 weeks or whatever it was, and then realize, hey, he's actually not coming, we'll go sign Casemiro the next day. Those days are gone. I think the players that United are targeting are of the right profiles. You got Milos Kerkez, you got João Neves, you got Todibo, who I think might be the first signing, the way things are looking. Todibo's at a decent price. This is what United should be doing. They need to sign players who are fit for the system, of the right age profile, who can deal with the rigors of modern football. And, you know, just because nothing has happened yet, doesn't mean, like, definitive, doesn't mean that things aren't happening in the background. But I think in this age of instant gratification and expecting something to develop every 5 seconds, that's helped frame or paint an unfair picture of what's actually happening. And Ineos had to do, I feel like they've had to do what they've had to do. Whether that's fair on Ten Hag is a completely fair conversation to have. But if you look at it through the lens of Erik Ten Hag is a candidate for his own job, it's fair enough for me. And now they've come to a decision where Ten Hag, they're going to keep him and probably negotiate a new contract with him. And I think I said a few weeks ago that it wouldn't necessarily be absolutely necessary to do that. But if they finalize the way that a new structure will work with Ashworth coming in, with Wilcox coming in, with different people doing the recruitment, Ten Hag could be allowed to coach. Now, what about the cup final? Because Erik Ten Hag has obviously won the FA Cup, and I'm seeing criticism for Ineos changing their mind. I don't know about how good Erik Ten Hag was as a fit for United manager moving forward based on one match. And I've seen criticism for that game impacting that decision. If Ten Hag had lost that game, maybe he wouldn't have as strong of a case. But the way I'm looking at it is, of course that game should impact the decision. Of course it should. Because, look, you've got all of these considerations about like how bad the style of play has been and how the players aren't really fit to play that style over the course of the season. That's been why United have had such a bad season in the first place. But surely if you're considering any Man United manager as a long-term prospect or a medium-term prospect for having that job, they've got to show aptitude to deliver in the big moment. And United went into that game with a game plan, with players fit, by the way. A lot of players come back fit. You had a almost first choice back four, minus Luke Shaw. But United put in probably their best performance of the season, and maybe one of the best performances of Ten Hag's reign, perhaps even the best one, in that game, when all the pressure was on him, when 24 hours before that game, the reports were that Ten Hag will be sacked regardless of the result. All of that outside noise, and Ten Hag managed to get these players who some say don't like him to put in one of the best performances of his reign. And do you think they're naive for considering that win and that performance as a factor? I'm not saying it's the factor, by the way. A factor in their decision to keep him. For me, of course it should, because if you're considering a Man United manager and what a United manager should be, I want to see somebody as a United manager who does not swear by their own style and is adaptable to changing it, can get the decisions right, and can impact and can alter their playing style to win a one-off game. I think this is a quality a United manager should have. I don't want a manager who comes in and sticks by his style truly and will never, ever change it. That's one of the criticisms now that we have of Ten Hag, because he didn't change the style in the league season soon enough. But Ten Hag has shown that he's humble enough to recognize that he might have to change in order to get the job done. The fact that a coach can do that, I like it. Nowadays, you have so many managers out there who are absolutely laser focused on playing one style, and it's do or die. It doesn't matter whether we win matches. As long as we play the style of football that I want to play, that's it. And I'll live and die by that. That's been one of my criticisms of Pep in the past, where there were a few years early in his City reign where he just wouldn't change and City wouldn't get the job done, in the Champions League especially. But for me, I think Ten Hag winning that cup final obviously strengthened his case. And it had to. And I feel like if you're criticizing Ineos for having that impact the decision to keep him, you know, I just think it's wrong, to be honest. I think it's wrong. And I feel like there are a lot of things which a United manager has to be. Flexible is one of them. Alex Ferguson was always flexible in terms of the tactical outlay that he put in and that he executed. United managers have to bring through, have a proven track record of bringing through youth players. Mainoo and Garnacho are two examples. There'll be more as well. United's academy is looking pretty fruitful and a pathway is there. They want to stick by those traditions and stick by those standards, and I feel like there'll be more. You've got to be able to get the job done when it matters. Ten Hag has two trophies in two seasons. I saw some suggestion yesterday that Ten Hag is the most successful manager in the Premier League after Pep Guardiola. Challenge me on that, but how far wrong is it, actually? In terms of trophies won, sure, Arteta's won one FA Cup and is getting Arsenal to be in the second best team in the country, but football's about winning trophies. And Ten Hag has proven in his first two seasons that he can win trophies. You bring in Thomas Tuchel, who is essentially that guarantee of winning trophies because he has done that. He's won the Champions League in the past, even if he didn't win anything with Bayern this season. You bring him in based on the fact that he's able to win trophies, yet you don't get any of the additional, like, able to play a style of play that is entertaining. And obviously, he has questions over his bringing through youth players policy. And also, he tends to, like, disagree and fall out with every club he's ever worked with. So, you know, there's other coaches. I could see the plus points on Tuchel. I can see why they didn't go for him in the end. And in the end, I'm actually glad that they haven't gone that way, because I feel like at some point in the next year or two, you know, probably he's going to end up leaving. Now you're going to have to start again. That would have been a short-term fix. But Ten Hag, for me, it's the right choice. And I'm just personally glad now that, yeah, it's been a long process, but I'm personally glad now that this is the end of it. Hopefully we'll see a new contract. No, it doesn't need to be long-term. It doesn't need to be 5 years. It can be like, look, new contract for you. This is the terms of the agreement. Your power over transfers will be transferred, in a sense, to a team that we're employing, which is above you. And now you will have to work with that team in order to identify the right profiles of players to sign. Look, everybody's wanted that. Everybody's wanted that over the last few years. And if Ten Hag's happy to do that, and if Ten Hag is happy to get on board with, and this is an important thing as well, I haven't mentioned yet, that style of play that he was playing, the players weren't suited to it last season. And that's why, for me, and I've said this for so long, the fact that the players aren't suited to it, and obviously United have had a lot of injuries as well, has meant that you can't see that system in its full form. Whether he should even play that system and that style, that adventurous, in fact, kamikaze style, whether he should play that long term is another question. But Ineos have also said that they want to identify a style of play that they want to go with, and that should be the way forward. If Ten Hag is happy to adapt and to get more on board with what the whole club wants, he deserves another year. And I'm just glad that finally we have a resolution to this. Hopefully in the next few weeks we will have news of a contract extension under new terms. Maybe Ten Hag becomes head coach instead of manager. But now Erik ten Hag can concentrate on doing the job on the pitch and getting results and not having to deal with any of the other circumstances outside of his control. All the off-field issues will be dealt with by other people. And Ten Hag now he's got to prove himself, but I would have preferred that United gave him a third year and a chance to prove himself rather than making the change to any others, because I don't think the coaches out there have higher merit than Ten Hag does. So that's it. Look, the summer starts now. Ten Hag stays, new contract coming, and United can start moving forward on telling players, hey, this is the manager you'll be working with, this is what we expect, and hopefully now we can start moving forward with identifying the positions and the players that we want to sign and bring in. Look, one, two centre-backs, I think a left-back's necessary, a right-back might be necessary, a centre midfielder and a striker, maybe a winger. Look, that's eight players or seven players I've just named there. Whether they get seven or eight, I don't know, but they've got to start bringing in players who are suitable for the system and start offloading players who just have been sat there like deadwood for too long. And reserve your judgment would be my only thing to say. Reserve your judgment. Give them the summer. Let's see if United can pull off some smarter deals rather than spending 70 million on every single player they have to sign, because it does good numbers and the shirt sales go up. Try and build a team. And you've got your manager who's going to lead it. Ten Hag has something to prove. The players have something to prove. Ineos have something to prove. And give them time to get those plans in place and to move forward. And I think that's it for me. Look, it's not going to be 3 weeks before I do the next one of these. But look, I'm just glad we have resolution. It won't be 3 weeks before I do the next one of these. And I'll hopefully come back to you as regular to the schedule that we were doing as possible in the future. I am going out to Germany later in the month for the Euros, but I'm sure I'll be able to find some time still to do this. Keep an eye on my Twitter where I'll maybe communicate when shows are coming. Hopefully I can get back to Tuesdays and Fridays, but we'll see how it goes. But look, get in the comments. I've been rambling for a little while. Hopefully it's made coherent sense. But I promise I'll get better. The more reps I do, the more practice I get, the better it'll be, hopefully. But subscribe to the show on Apple and Spotify and give us a 5-star review as well. And watch us on YouTube, where you can like the stream, subscribe, and leave a comment. Hit the notification bell so you never miss a show as well. And follow us on social media at @_ScottSaunders and at @TPLMUFC on X. Show some love to Rob as well. Hopefully he'll catch this and he can give me some critique as well about how well I've done in this. But look, that's been the promised land. Sorry for the 3 weeks worth of no shows, but look, we'll be back soon, because finally we're out of that uncertain period where we can move forward finally and United can get on with this summer. Until next time, I'm Scott from the promised land. Thanks everyone for watching. Thanks everyone for listening, and see you soon.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.